here in the Pleasant Stone with Henry Blofeld, who's back again with Blofeld and Baxter, which has become a legend at the Edinburgh Fringe. My first question is, what was it like that moment you caught out Colin Cowdrey?
Do you know, it was so long ago. It was a nick. I have an idea it was off Ted Dexter's bowling. I may be wrong. I caught Colin Cowdrey in one game and then Cyril Washbrook, the England opener, former England opener, in another game. He was off Ted. It was a great moment. I think in those days I was quite relieved that anything stuck in my gloves, probably. But it was a wonderful thing to have done, I think. And I thank you for bringing it up.
The reason I brought it up is Fringe Review's a theatre publication. And I'm a cricket fan, played cricket at school. I've listened to just about every test match I can. It's about storytelling, isn't it? In all of those moments between the action, cricket commentaries about storytelling.
It's about storytelling. It's about just letting your mind wander. It's about satire, it's about comedy, it's about humour. Above all, it's about entertainment and friendship. I think our audience feel that we're enormously friendly. I think, funnily enough, TMS has made its name as much for its non-cricketing content as its cricketing content, which seems the most wicked paradox, but I think, in fact, it's true.
So, just to give people an insight into the broadcasting room, is there there's a script. Is there a script, or are you always improvising?
Totally improvising. Your bottom line is there's a story unfolding in front of you. You can't have a script, so you don't know what's happening. I've been doing it for 43 years, and I've never once been into a commentary box with something prepared that I was going to say. It's all absolutely off the cuff. Each day's Test cricket is 7.5 hours ad-lib broadcasting. You can't, if you think about it, you don't know what's going to happen. Therefore, you can't script yourself. How do you, when bad light or rain stops play, how do you carry on talking for 2 hours, Paul? Well, the thing is, I've watched 700 Test matches, so I got a bit to fall back on. When I started, I played a bit of cricket. You know, one knew the game, and one knew enough about it to ask more experienced people intelligent questions.
Why do you think so many people still, think the pictures are clearer on the radio?
Oh, I tell you exactly. You've only got to listen to a recording of a really good commentator like John Arlott or Christopher Martin Jenkins. When you're watching television, you are subjective entirely to a small screen which shows you what's happening. In commentary terms, on the radio, the commentator is the camera in television terms. He is telling you what happens. He's painting a picture. But the viewers cannot see anything. They've got no visual distraction. They've got, therefore, the commentator's got a 360-degree angle of vision. And if he does it well, people bring their imagination into play because they've got nothing to look at. And I think it's as simple as that. And you visualise when something exciting is happening or when a chap describes something very well. You picture it in your own mind. And I don't think you do that on television, because television commentators don't describe. They merely add to the picture or explain the picture.
So have you preferred to mostly stay off the screen?
Yeah, I'm bad at the screen, so I talk too much. And I'm not very good at sticking just on the monitor. If I see something funny over there, I go for it. And the cameras don't know where it is, and it's chaos.
So what's the theatre of a test match?
Well, I mean, the theatre is the drama that's happening out in the middle, isn't it? I mean, you've got a big crowd, and a cricket goes on, a test cricket, for 5 days. And you've got, with a two-innings match, you've got so many possibilities, most of which you've not got in one-day cricket. And, I mean, we've just seen a fascinating test match at Southampton. I'm talking to you the day after it ended, England won. We saw an equally fascinating game at Lord's when India won easily. And this is the great ebb and flow. It's like a marvellous ongoing game of chess at rather quicker speed.
But some of the games are Shakespeare, aren't they?
Well, yes, they are. I mean, of course they are. I've watched a great many, and some stand out as classic games of cricket. Yes, of course they do, and one always longs that hopes they're all going to be that, but they aren't. But then, I mean, here we are at the Fringe, and on the basis of Test Match Special, and I think it's a great credit to and a reflection on the ethos of the programme, that we have out of that a really highly amusing two-man show. We don't talk about cricket. We talk about all the things that have gone on behind the scenes, the jokes that have happened in front of the camera, not pertaining particularly to cricket, but pertaining to great characters who've been in the box, the John Arlotts, the Brian Johnstons, and other people who have visited us. And I think this is one of the great strengths of Test Match Special coming through, that it provides this humour. It enables us to go and do that. And I don't think with great respect to Peter Alice, who I know does a one-man show, I don't think any other game does it as well.
And yet, when I grew up, you know, the Alan Knotts were the comedians of the game. Are there comedians out there on the pitch now? Is there a room for comedians?
Alan Knott was only a self-perceived comedian. He was not. He's one of the most serious greenkeepers and people I've ever met. He was just merely the way in which he went about his job that looked funny. Jack Russell was another greenkeeper, a small greenkeeper who did a bit of this too. There are characters. We live in 2014. We're constantly engaged in an evolutionary process. Characters today are different from characters were when I was young. And therefore, I think everyone at my age, and I'm nearly 100, everyone at my age says things ain't what they used to be. Things are not what they used to be. They are not no worse, but they are different. And that's it. Characters today, perhaps they're not quite so eccentric, perhaps they're not quite so well-defined, I don't know. But I think the young today feel that in all the stars, the football, the tennis, the cricket they watch, there are very much those characters. And of course, every now and then you get a great character like Shane Warne, Freddie Flintoff, that gets thrown up.
But I guess I've been interested that some of the best performances we see up at the Fringe are born of comedy, and they're born of the energy that comes from laughter. If we all get too serious in the game of cricket, and we always, when we're in our lowest point, our only strategy is to get even more serious. Are we losing something?
Well, I don't think necessarily that happens, and I think Test Match Special is the great indication. I think there is always humour in everything, and I think Test Match Special looks for it. And I mean, the humour is the one thing I think everyone would say is the key to the success of Test Match Special. So I don't agree that we all get more serious about it. I think on Test Match Special we do keep it incredibly light-hearted, yeah. And I think it we are all the better for it. I mean, I think in any situation in life that is humour, you've only got to look for it. You, as time goes by, perhaps you have to look for it in a different way, but it is there. And I think we live in an age when, by and large, people don't laugh enough. And if they come, for example, and see our show in the Queen's Dome, I think people will sit there and have a better laugh. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking to you having played two previews, and we've certainly had a great deal of laughter so far. And we played that wonderful clip of Brian Johnston in the leg over moment back in 1991 when he completely loses it and giggles his head off. And that clip alone makes the whole house fall down. It really does. It's extraordinary.
I think that's the point I'm making. I have no qualms with the commentary box. Always, I mean, when things are bad for England, my God, the commentary box is keeping us going with some of its humour. It's actually out there on the pitch that they don't seem to be able to access, you know, a smile that might release some energy.
Well, you see, it's money, isn't it? When money comes into any game, this happens. Winner takes all, in a way, a rotten philosophy for humour, anyway. And because the loser takes nothing. And so he's not going to laugh very, very easily, is he? And I fear this is so. Rules are pushed to the limit. You get all the swearing, the sledging, and what's happening to Jimmy Anderson at the moment, who has certainly blown his top off more than anyone in the world, perhaps, in terms of sledging. And maybe what's going to happen is his due. I mean, perhaps it is. And if it's going to stop him doing it, well, I think that's a plus. Although I'd be sad if he misses out two test matches. But equally, I think it's probably a small prize to play if it does make the game a little bit cleaner in that way. But then you see this is change. Everyone, the captains today, and everyone thinks, well, it's the players' game, and if they want to do it this way, who are we to intervene? Whereas in the old days, it probably would never have happened. Although, I say it probably would never have happened. Dr. W.G. Grace, no one was more financially motivated than him in the end of the 19th century, and I dare say he didn't half sledge in his own way.
And so I'll put something to you. Aren't you a bit young to be bringing a show to the Edinburgh Fringe?
Well, I'm 75. I don't think that's, I think probably I am, really. Yes, I mean, I think I'm... you're thinking about 20 years' time. I might have rather a good show, man.
Well, I guess, what is it that's unique for you about performing live that you're not getting from the radio?
I think what's always fun... I mean, I do something like 150 stage shows a year away from Edinburgh. I think there's something very compelling and irresistible about being able to make people laugh. And I think it's fun. I think it's up here, in Edinburgh particularly, it's a transient audience. You never quite know who you're talking to. And if you get the same reaction, it's very gratifying. It's fun. You meet lots of people. One meets people like yourself. We're doing this here now, which is fun. Look at all the people around us. What shows are they going to do? I'm just going to race outside with all these flyers and try and sell my own show. You never know what's going to happen, and I think it's terrific. And goodness me, I'm working harder now than I've ever worked in my life, and thank God it's that way and not the other.
So what happens in your show?
Oh, well, it's all I can say is come and see it. It is comedy. We talk about all the things, the laugh, the funny things that have happened in our joint experiences. Peter was my producer for 38 years, and I've been behind the microphone. No, 34 years he did it for, that's right. I've been behind the microphone for 43 years. All the mad things that have happened in the box and out of it. I mean, as I say, there's no cricket, but it is just anecdote, story, and humour, and satire. And I think the satire element, in parts, is quite strong. And when you've got people like Brian Johnson and John Arlott, laughter can never be far away.
Final question. I was doing a little bit of work recently with Sussex County Cricket Club on their museum and their heritage. And they claim to have, in one of their glass cabinets, the first ever written down rules of cricket on a piece of cloth. And why do you think, I mean, that goes back hundreds of years, that this sport, you know, has survived so long and is as compelling even in a five-day format for so many people?
Well, you say, because I think it's man's instinct, isn't it? I mean, it was founded, this game started perhaps with shepherds picking up turnips and flinging it at each other and someone hitting them with their crook, the other one, you know. I think it's human, part of human nature. Games played with a ball, it's human nature to want to hit a ball or to kick a ball. A lot of people kick it, don't they? The places called Manchester United exist for that. We hit it in our game, and we hit it north of the border here in Scotland. They have another game, don't they, called cricket, called golf. You know, St Andrews and all that, which is splendid. But basically, in a way, it's the same thing. In America, they call it baseball. And you know, there we are. I think it's just human nature, honestly. And I think it's always, the whole of life, we live in an age now where people try to tell the young there is no such thing as competition and competition is bad for you. You and I both know, having been to school, that competition is the basis of life. And it's all about who wins what, isn't it? I mean, and you've got to learn to be a winner. And that is a basic truth in life, and playing games is the same. If you play them well, you win, don't you? And you get a taste for winning, and you want to go on winning. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
But there is something very specific about hitting those wickets, knocking those sticks over, that's different from a ball in a net.
Well, you say that, is there? I wonder. If I was Gary Lineker or whoever, and hit the ball into the net, I think I'd feel just as pleased as if I Bo Bradman, particularly if I was playing football against Brazil. You say that. I wonder. I think the human emotions. I mean, nowadays everyone gathers around and congratulates immediately. But in the old days, you didn't win. Jim Laker took 19 for 90. At the end, he just took his sleeveless sweater from the umpire and his cap and walked off, didn't he? No one came up and congratulated him. But I don't know. I think there's always this very gratifying feeling of success. And I think we all like that. Crowds like it and players like it. It's a good feeling.
I suppose for me what it was too, there was something maybe because it did come from, you know, at this particular island, which is that you hit the stumps, they go flying everywhere, but nobody gets hurt.
Well, this is it, and it therefore, what you're saying is drama, aren't you? I mean, there is the drama of hitting the stumps, there's the drama of the sleeping catch, there's the drama of the run out, there's the drama of the signal for six, and there are lots of other bits of drama of the great diving catch or the wicketkeeper. You know, there's lots of drama in cricket, and yet lots of people will tell you it's too slow and all they can do is send them to sleep. Nonsense. Tell them to go and have a look at it.
Very final question. You may be able to answer it or not, but this particular test series, England or India?
I think probably, having got their noses in front now, well, Ishant Sharma's out, isn't he? The fast bowler who bowled England out at Lord's in second innings for India. He won't play again, certainly at Old Trafford. And it may be, I'm talking of the day that the jury are going to sit on Jimmy Anderson, the trial. I must make that clear, that I am talking the day that a decision is going to be made. He is accused of pushing Jadeja in that first test in the passage outside the dressing rooms at Trent Bridge in the first test. If Jimmy Anderson is suspended for two tests, then I think England have got India have got a very good chance, and who knows? I mean, I think if Anderson is able to play in the last two tests, England will win. If he doesn't play, I really don't know. It could very well be a drawn series.
More on that at 4:20 p.m. every day in the Pleasance Dome up here at the Edinburgh Fringe. Henry, thank you very much indeed.